It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
All right, folks, it's Mike the Ref here with Quick Calls. Oh, my fucking God.
Rollins is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Can you freaking believe it?
As you can tell, folks, I'm here with Andre C. of Wrestling Clarity, who's having a small orgasm right now.
No, I'm just really, really freaking happy.
Yeah, folks, trust me. And I also got the wrestling mind Brian Hamilton with me as well.
Yay.
All right, folks, well, cat's out of the bag. Rollins is a new champion. What'd you guys think of it?
Overall, I didn't have high expectations going into Mania this year. I thought not the most greatest build for the probably one of the lower grade Manias in a long time, but I from start to finish, this entire pay per view had me on the edge of my seat. I enjoyed the whole thing. The main event, one of the highlights of the night, but another highlight though was that tag team title match on the pre show, having Kidzaro defending their titles in that four way. But that main event, it's Rollins cashing it in the middle of the match to win the championship.
And Brian?
Oh, so the whole thing was fantastic. But the kickoff show, you had the two matches, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, won by Big Show. And then you had the tag team match, which was awesome. Then from there, the beginning of the show to the end was fantastic. I think every match was a plus 10 or more. The ending was phenomenal with Rollins winning it. Nobody knew what was going on. I thought he wasn't going to do it, but he did.
I thought just when he went for that curse that Lesnar would get him catch him F5, yeah. And that's how you protect Rollins for next month. That's what I was expecting right there.
It was fantastic, unbelievable.
New era. You get a new era with a new champion starting tomorrow night. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's two other words I want to bring up right now that just because of the way the ending happened, just before that, it was going to be the highlight of the evening. I'll bring up two simple words right now. Ronda fucking Rousey.
What the hell happened there? Dana's not the guy that usually makes those kind of deals. And for Ronda Rousey to appear at WrestleMania, get in the ring, and even judo flip Triple H.
That was freaking fantastic to see.
I'm surprised Dana, if it wasn't just them going to business for themselves, because I don't think they want to get sued by Dana in UFC. I'm surprised Dana made that deal.
I am and I'm not, for the fact that after what happened with Lesnar earlier this week and the free promo that UFC essentially got by Lesnar walking into an ESPN set and saying, yeah, I'm no longer competing, but everybody at ESPN was... Odds are the reason for that they pulled the interview up is because they thought he was re-signing.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just an extra offshoot off of that. Maybe Vince said, okay, well, you know what, promote our top girl and we can go from there. That's one of the thoughts I could have about it. One other thought I want to bring up, The Undertaker keeps his streak alive. Well, not his streak, he starts a new one. Takes over Bray Wyatt. I know that with Andre here, he didn't think that was the best ending for it.
Okay, you know what, I'm not mad that he won, but what bothers me is you've been building Bray Wyatt so strong for the last couple months, and you've been building him up, and honestly, a win at Overtaker would have set him up to go above and beyond, been an eventual challenger to the title, but with another loss at WrestleMania, another loss on his record, where does he go from here? That's the problem I have with that match.
Brian, your thoughts on that?
Oh, I thought the match was fantastic. I would have loved to see Bray win it, but I could see them doing Undertaker just because of what happened last year. That match was fantastic. Like I said, Bray, I still say should have won it because he is your character you want to build on for the future.
He's the one that's going to be on Raw tomorrow.
Exactly. You're not going to see Taker probably until next year, which is a shame because, I mean, he's a man, so.
Well, here's the other part that gets me in terms of this confusion. Like, don't get me wrong, I found my predictions, you know, quite bang on, because once again, I won the WrestleMania predictions.
You were 5-3-1.
Yeah, well, you know, that's...
You got four matches wrong. I went 2-6-1.
Hey, I called...
I know my record's pretty bad tonight.
For the record, I did call in the cash in. I just expected it after the match, not during.
Yeah.
But regardless, I'm going back to my earlier point. the fact that they had the old guard go over on the young guard really didn't make a lot of sense to me when it came to both Undertaker beating Wyatt and John Cena beating Rusev.
The Rusev one gets me because you've built this monster. He's had so much, you got so much credibility in this guy who's become a beast in your promotion. But for some reason, they always want Cena to beat the guy they're building up. Why? Cena doesn't need it. He doesn't need rubs anymore. He's the one that should be giving people rubs. I think Rusev should have went over, and he would have been, could just built, and he could kept building Rusev until eventually he challenges a face champion or a face you need. So you need to put a face to win, so you can go face Rollins and say at SummerSlam, that could be the win they can use to beat Rusev. That could have been a lot better building block for a guy to go face Rusev, not for that.
Right.
I would agree with you there. That was something that they didn't have to do, because I believe that Cena does not need a belt to make him champion. Rusev, you need to build his character up, because he hasn't been in the main show very long. You know, you got to build him up.
A year.
But
he debuted at Rumble last year, then he disappeared until after Mania.
That's true.
And then he came back right after Mania, and he's been there a year.
But I still figure you got to build the guy up, because he's, you know, he's right up there.
And then, well, I'm sure Andre can talk about this a little bit more on his Wrestling Clarity episode coming up this week. We also had the old guard, as in Triple H, defeating, quote-unquote, the new guard, Sting, in a rather confusing match, not overall based on the ending. Like, you could see the ending happening, but just who got involved and how they interacted during the match. Do you want to...
Well, the NWO showing up for Sting, I understand DX was out there for Trips, and they're WWE, and they're all friends. So you have DX, but then you bring out NWO for Sting, which is odd, because two of the three members are Triple H's best friends, and all three of them were in war against Sting for years. So I look at that going, it's not the greatest outlook, but... and. I think Sting should have won to set up his run if he does do a few matches before next year's Mania.
I would agree there. Yeah.
All right. Well, myself personally, I hated having those guys come out. If you really want to, if you want to push this WCW versus WWE, bring out some legit WCW talent. Like, I know Andre and I were discussing during the show, Vader was in the Hall of Fame crowd. Why not just bring him out there? It isn't like his skill set needs to be overly energetic to get done.
Just need to back up Sting. That's all you need to do.
Exactly. And other than that, the Intercontinental match?
Right now, we have the network on in the background, and it's now the replay of WrestleMania. And first match up, Intercontinental title ladder match, which to me, one of the best matches of the night outside the main event.
I was just going to say that. That was a hell of a good match. That seven of the greatest competitors in there battling it out.
Well, okay, six and R-Truth.
Six with R-Truth. R-Truth, you know, we know he's a
part of ladders. Sorry. Five with R-Truth and Stardust.
True.
I love Cody Rhodes, but the Stardust gimmick sucks.
It doesn't suck with his Damian Demento garb that he was wearing tonight.
Oh, that thing is weird. And his cosmic ladder or whatever the heck it was.
Oh, loud, yes.
And Barrett just takes it and destroys the crap out of it.
Yeah. So we end up with a new Intercontinental Champion and Daniel Bryan with battling Ziggler at the end, which I thought was fantastic.
And honestly, with that battle at the end, I see it being Ziggler and Bryan.
That's what I was just going to say. That I think they're building it up for those two to have a series of matches down the road.
My well wishes go out to Dean Ambrose, who looked like he landed on his head after that powerbomb from Luke Harper through ladder.
He took a nasty bump.
He landed too close to the ring, which made him almost land on his neck, which looked like it hurt like a hell. So hopefully he's okay and we see him on Raw tomorrow night.
Oh, yes.
Want to send out our well wishes to Dean Ambrose as well as Brock Lesnar. Because he took a post-shot that...
He looked like he was concussed.
It looked hard way, though. That's the problem. It didn't look like it was just like a cut. That, as soon as he came off the post, there was no time. The blood was already going.
Yeah, he hit something.
Unless they put a blade on the post for him to cut himself on, which would be
which
weird.
I doubt.
But...
All right, so your final thoughts and basically what do you rate the show at?
Final thoughts is the show was fantastic from start to beginning. The ending was... fantastic with Seth cashing in and winning it. I'd give it probably about a 9 out of a 10.
Overall, great show. I picked wrong, but I enjoyed every match, and most of the endings made sense. Most, not all, but it's a great Mania. I'd give it 8.5 out of 10, and that's also including the two matches on the pre-show, which I thought were two of the best matches of the night.
Yes.
Personally, I found that the caliber of the shows actually decreased as we went along. And with the caliber the way it was starting off the show, I expected a lot better things for the main event. I didn't expect a whole lot out of the main event, but
honestly, that main event way over-delivered to me.
Yes.
It over-delivered, but to start out, it really chugged along, and then it picked up some momentum.
Oh, yeah, but that's what you expect out of any Brock Lesnar match. Beat up for a while, and then you get to the fast-paced beat-em-up stuff.
And then the Cena-Rusev match, just that absolutely... I basically shit my cornflakes on that. I can't stand it. I love the entrance for Rusev, coming in on a tank. That was pretty damn good.
It was.
It did top the Terminator entrance of Triple H.
That was actually
pretty cool, though.
Well,
in a way,
I could see the King of Kings Terminator mix up there.
I like the Arnold promo in there. It was kind of, it worked. It helped sell it, I thought.
So yeah, myself personally, I give, from what I've seen over the previous years, it's a lot better than those, but I still wouldn't give it more than 7.5 out of 10.
I'd say this: I enjoyed this WrestleMania more than I did last year, because last year it just didn't seem like there was enough on that show. There was 5-6 matches on that show. I thought this year was just, with all that it had, I thought it delivered. Outside of, like, John Cena and Rusev, they had a good match together, just the outcome wasn't what we wanted, or what everybody, I think, expected.
I know we mentioned our last thoughts, but we did have one match that actually turned out rather well, a lot better than I expected, and that was the Divas match halfway through.
Honestly, really great match.
Now, if it wouldn't have been pigeonholed in the spot that it was in the card, it basically, you got two icons going at it, and then you got Divas going on.
I thought, even though where it was, the crowd, there had been enough time in between that last match and the Divas that I think they got a good reaction, and even they got a good reaction from the WrestleMania crowd. I think because it's an international crowd there, they're more receptive to the Divas in an international crowd.
And there's less detracting to it. So, and you didn't hear the CM Punk chants this time. You didn't hear any of the... Most of the chants were wrestling positive related, not...
It was either... Oh, the best one I heard, though, was just as Cena starts coming out, John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. It was so good.
It's bad enough when we're singing it at home here. But.
Then you go, do-do-do-do. That even worse.
Yeah, I love being annoying with that.
Yeah.
So, Brian, anything else you want to say before we head out?
Just want to say that I enjoyed the show. Just come out, enjoy, and support the local wrestling that's in the city here when it's around, and enjoy it, folks.
I just want to say I enjoyed the hell out of it. This is the first year I've actually watched WrestleMania with a bunch of people in years. So I've had a great time with the crew from the Edmonton Sports Podcast that were watching this, so hope we do it again for multiple pay-per-views, and especially next year in WrestleMania.
All right, folks, and the last thing I want to say is this has been a great show. Please check out Wrestling Clarity this Wednesday, as Andre will be discussing a little more intel about all the matches at WrestleMania.
And I'll be reviewing the PWA show from April. March.
And we'll have a few clips from our interview with Stephen Styles and Cujo from RCW, as well as a preview of my Leo Burke Cup series coming up this Friday with our interview with MPW star Jack Hammer.
Yep.
But on that note, just remember, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Mike the Ref with Quick Calls from the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network World Headquarters in Edmonton, Alberta, talking about the WrestleMania pay-per-view. Thanks for joining out, folks.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.